For your word, which is truth. Lord, we are desperate for truth in a world that's filled with fake news and lies. Thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through you, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. What a miracle, what a blessing, Lord. We are eternally grateful that you've made us whiter than snow. And so tonight, or this morning, with open Bibles and open hearts and open ears, as you said to the seven churches on the last couple of weeks, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us here this morning. We love you, Lord, and thank you for everybody here. Thank you for those that are watching on YouTube. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for your precious word, which is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read through chapter 4, and then we'll come back and kind of expound on it a little bit. And this is what the word of the Lord says. By the way, prior to chapter 4, John was on his face before God. He fell as a dead man. And God told him to write what he had seen about the seven churches. Seven churches that were in John's time, and it's a picture of seven of the churches today. The spiritual condition of churches. And it's so important for us to go through God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept, have open hearts and open ears to hear what the Lord has to say to us. Now, this is pretty exciting here this morning in the first verse, as we'll see in a moment. John now gets called up to heaven. The door is open. That's what I'm looking forward to. I don't know about you. Anytime, Lord. And we're going to see a little bit more about that door in a moment that's opened in heaven. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet or a shofar speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Come up here. Wow. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and all around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. Second living creature like a calf. Third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures each had six wings and were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne and worship him, who lives forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Lord, teach us this morning. Lead us and guide us in all truth, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this morning here in chapters 4 and 5, we come to the third division. There are three divisions in the revelation of Jesus Christ. We saw this back in chapter 1. Jesus told John to write, first of all, the things which you have seen. Secondly, the things which are and now, which we're going to now begin in chapters 4 and 5, the things which will take place after this, future things. Man, I just get so excited every day when I wake up and ponder what God's word says and realize and recognize we're one day closer to home. We are closer than we have ever been as the bride of Christ, as the church in the history of mankind. There's a definite break between chapter 3 and 4. The things which are seen we saw in chapters 2 and 3, and the things which are we saw in the seven churches over the last couple of weeks, and the things which must take place after this we're going to see here this morning. And so verse 1 tells us, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet or a shofar speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you things which must take place after this. I wonder what John thought. There he was, flat on his face like a dead man, and all of a sudden the Lord invites him up to heaven through this door which is open. From chapter 4 on, things are now unfolding that have to do with the end of the age. And we are, like I said, we're closer than ever to the end of the age. These are future events, things which must take place. And when God says they must take place, you can take that all the way to heaven. Also, from this point on, the church is not mentioned on the earth until the 22nd chapter, verse 16. What happened to the church? Well, the rapture of the church had taken place. The church is in heaven with the Lord. And the wedding supper of the Lamb until the 7 years of tribulation is over. I love to do word studies. And one of the word studies that I tie in with the first verse here in Revelation chapter 4 is that one word, door. You ever done a word study on the word door? It goes all the way to the book of Genesis. Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Imagine that. And guess what? He only had 10 people that got on board the ark. And the Bible tells us very clearly that there was one door. One door. And guess what? Noah and his family, sons and daughters, went through that door, and the Bible tells us that the door was shut. Folks, when God shuts a door, no man can open it. We saw that previously in the revelation of Jesus Christ. One day, that door is going to be shut. The door right now is open in heaven, but it will be shut one day. I wanted to share with you what Jesus said right after he spoke in Matthew 24 about prophecy, about prophetic things. In chapter 25, he now gives us a story about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. If you like, you can turn to Matthew chapter 25. Otherwise, I'll just read it to you. And guess what? This section by Jesus Christ talks about a door. It talks about brides and a bridegroom. The brides are getting ready for the wedding supper of the Lamb. In chapter 25, verse 1, it says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Oil in Scripture speaks of the person of the Holy Spirit. And here they had no oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Just like the church is doing today, unfortunately. We need to wake up, folks. And at midnight, a cry was heard. We are told that the voice of an archangel is going to cry out. At the rapture of the church, the trump of God will sound. That's why I always am reminded of the trump of God with the shofar that's behind me. as a reminder that we are very, very close to hearing the trump or the shofar of God sound. Amazing, isn't it? Then all, back up. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, nope, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. Look at this. And the door was shut. To me, that's one of the scariest verses in all of the Bible, or one of the scariest incidents in all of the Bible, when one day the door is going to be shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open the door to us. But he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. That's coming as well. One day, that door in heaven is going to be shut, folks. And there will be those, just like in Noah's day, pounding on the door as the flood began in Noah's day, and there's going to be a flood of wickedness and violence that will come upon the earth for 7 years in the tribulation period, and the door to heaven is going to be shut. Whoa. Afterward, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you. And when God says assuredly, he means assuredly. I say to you, I do not know you. And again, that's one of the scariest verses in all of Scripture. I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And like I said, we are closer than ever to the return of Jesus Christ. One more section of Scripture I want to share with you before we get back to the revelation of Jesus Christ, and that's the Gospel of John. Again, it's another door Scripture. John 10, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. How do we hear the voice of the shepherd today? Right here, folks. The good shepherd wants to speak to his sheep, his word, his truth. And if there's ever a time in the history of the church we need to hear the voice of the Lord, it's right now. Bible also in Scripture prophetically tells us that before the return of Jesus Christ, there will be a great falling away, and there will be wolves in sheep's clothing giving out a message that's not of the Lord. We don't tamper with God's word. We don't add to it. We don't take away. We as sheep need to hear the voice of the Lord like never before. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. You know what? We need to know the voice of the Lord, so when the counterfeit, when the wolves come along, that we know the voice of the Lord, the good shepherd. We need to know the difference between fleece and fur. Grandma, what big eyes you have. But look at this in verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is the door. He is the only way into heaven, period. God makes that very, very clear. Jesus says, I am the way, the only way. I am the truth, the only truth, and I am the life. And no man or woman comes to the Father but through me. Jesus is the door. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill. That's Satan, the enemy, the adversary, and to destroy. He's doing a pretty good job of that right now, isn't he? He's ripping people off, stealing. He's killing people. And he's destroying lives. Ran across an article in the paper 2 days ago. You can now, in the state of California, buy cannabis liquid in a bottle. Liquid marijuana. And it's powerful. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And if you think it's bad today, just wait till tomorrow. Ryan and Sue laugh at me because that's what I often say. You think it's bad today, just wait till tomorrow. And sin is getting out of control. Pharmakia is the term in Greek. Illicit drug abuse. Those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And look what's going on in our country and in our world today. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's so important to realize and recognize that when we come to Jesus Christ, when we lay our lives down before the one who laid down his life for us. And my Bible tells me that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He breaks the chains of sin and death. He breaks the chains of all of the things that bind us. He sets us free. My Bible again tells me he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Back to the revelation of Jesus Christ. But I just thought it was important to do a word study on the word door, just a couple of places it's mentioned in Scripture. And with our text this morning, the door is open, but it's getting ready to close. The minute that trumpet sounds, the church is going to be taken to the wedding supper of the Lamb, harpazoed, raptured out of here, and the door will be shut, and all hell will break loose here on earth because the restrainer, the person of the Holy Spirit, will be taken up as well. Back to Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 4. The rapture of the church now had taken place. From this point on, the church is not mentioned on the earth until we get to the 22nd chapter. And so here this morning, we begin these literal prophecies that are going to take place. A lot of them, we don't fully understand. We don't have a full description of certain parts of the chapters here. But like I said, I refuse to speculate. And I refuse to sensationalize. There's enough in this chapter for us this morning without questioning or wondering, okay, who are these with the eyes and who are these four here? And we'll talk a little bit about that. The lion, the calf, the face like a man, and the flying eagle, and the six wings and full of eyes and all. We're going to touch on that a little bit. But you know what? There's a lot of things in Scripture that we just have to wait till we see. But what we do know here this morning is that these are the things that are going to take place. And some of them we are seeing taking place right now. Some of those things that Jesus told us about in Matthew 24, we're going to see when we come to when we get to chapter 6, when we talk about the seals, and then when we talk about the trumpets, we're going to see how all of these things are falling right into place. Amazing. So once the rapture takes place, God will then deal with Israel. And look what's going on in Israel right now. She's surrounded by her enemies, just like Scripture says. He's going to deal with Israel concerning their Messiah. And isn't it amazing? You know, many times as I go upstairs to check the mail with our Jewish friends, it's like I just love sharing their Scriptures with them about their Messiah. You know, oftentimes, like a couple of months ago, they said to me, Merry Christmas. I go, I don't celebrate Christmas. I celebrate the coming of your Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I said, it's not all about jingle bells or Santa or ho, ho, ho. I said, ho, ho, ho to me is Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. That's the ho, ho, ho I like. We pray for them every day. They need to know Jesus Christ. And this is amazing that here we are, Gentiles, in the same building, opening their book. We have a mixture of Jews and Gentiles here. Matter of fact, last Sunday we had a lady visit from Jerusalem that was here. And here we are, a mixture of Jews and Gentiles, and we know the Messiah. We know Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And it breaks my heart that they're blinded to the truth of God's word. But we continue to pray that God would open their eyes. So God's going to deal with Israel as well as those who are going to be left on earth during the tribulation period. Those who turn to Christ will be saved, yes, during the tribulation period. But those who reject him will be destroyed. And it amazes me that there will still be people during the tribulation period that will reject Jesus Christ, the only way that they can be saved. In the middle of the tribulation period, an idolatrous image will be set up in the third temple. Guess what? There's talk in Israel right now. Read their paper. Read the Jerusalem Post. Read the Arut Sheva. They are getting ready to rebuild the third temple. Hello? And we know the rest of that story. And men will be ordered to worship this idolatrous image or die. Matthew 24:15. This will begin the great tribulation period, which is known also as the time of Jacob's trouble, at the suffering, a time of suffering like the world has never, ever, ever seen. The good news is, if you have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you'll never see it. You won't be here. So our first scene is in heaven. As John writes, a door is standing open in heaven, and he hears a voice like a trump, and it's not Donald. A trumpet, a shofar. It's Jesus saying, come up here, and I will show you things that must take place after this. The same words that Jesus spoke back in chapter 1, verse 19. Oh, those three words are incredible, aren't they? Come up here. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. It could be through the grave, or it could be through the rapture. The rapture or the rupture? Are you ready? We need to be ready for those three words. Come up here. Because guess what? After the door is shut in heaven, it's going to be too late. Too late. And so here we see that, you know, John is just called to come up here. And I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. Man, come up here. And so John's called up to heaven. God's on the throne. It says he sees an orchestration of all these events that John's going to record. The world may seem as if it's spinning out of control. And it seems that way even right now. But isn't it wonderful to know that everything is under the control of God? God knows everything. God sees everything. God is in full control. As a matter of fact, oftentimes I hear people talk about stuff that's going on in the world, and I said, yeah, they're just proving that the Bible is true. All of the stuff that we see and all of the stuff that we hear, it's fulfilling what Jesus said in Scripture. Even with this COVID thing, Jesus said prior to the return of Christ, there would be pestilence, which is incurable diseases. This is just the beginning. There's going to be contractions closer together, more intense. And that's why I don't have fear in my heart, because Jesus tells me in his word, these things are going to take place before the return of the Lord. So my anxiety is, wow, I'm ready to see Jesus. I'm not afraid of some stinking little flu bug. I've had Agent Orange. I've had malaria. This is nothing. I was telling somebody this morning, if I die from COVID, praise the Lord, it sent me to heaven. We have an appointment with God. And you can't change it. You're going to be there right on time. The thing is, the all-important thing is that you know his son. And so here, we see God is in full control. And John gets a glimpse of heaven. What's that going to be like, your first glimpse of heaven? We can't even imagine. We really can't. And he gets a glimpse of heaven before he records what is going to happen here on earth. Isn't that just like the Lord? Show John the blessings that are to come before he shows him what's going to take place down here on earth after the church is gone. the things that must take place after this. Verse 2. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat on the throne was like a jasper, and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne was 24 thrones, and the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning from the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Can you imagine? John comes up here and he writes what he sees, and it's so far from what we see here on earth, it just seems supernatural. Which it is. Four times in the revelation of Jesus Christ, John writes that he was in the Spirit, which again goes to show that unless you are born again, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven, because you must be full of the Holy Spirit. Very simply. What John sees and writes is through the Holy Spirit here, showing him, revealing to him things that cannot be understood by the flesh, the natural man. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. Prophecy comes from God through the Holy Spirit, Old Testament and New. Anything that is prophetic is from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so John immediately sees the throne room, eternal God on the throne. But it doesn't say that he sees God, but he sees these things around him, the glory, the majesty, the splendor. Because the Bible says no man has seen God. Moses, when God gave him the Ten Commandments, had to be in this little cave. He just saw the back of God go by. In a majority of the manuscripts, and some of you may have a cross-reference that omits, he who sat there was. It says that in the middle of my Bible here. So many of the manuscripts and many of the cross-references omit he who sat there was, making the jasper and sardius a description of the throne. And it does give us a description of the throne rather than a description of God, making the jasper and sardius descriptive of the throne. And the rainbow is always symbolic of God's covenant, God's beautiful covenant with mankind, which God will keep. It shows John this rainbow, the covenant that God is going to keep in spite of the judgment which is to come. In light of God's throne, the jasper stone is clear like crystal, almost like a diamond. The sardius stone is red like a ruby. And these are symbolic. The clear jasper speaks of the purity of God. The sardius stone, of course, speaks of redemption, Old Testament and New. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The sardius, the red stone, speaks of redemption, and we have redemption through the Son of God who shed his blood for us. Again, look at verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And again, we're not told, and so I can't speculate who these 24 elders are. I don't know, but they are there. And as I've previously mentioned on many occasions, I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to sensationalize. But we do know that they're there with golden crowns on their head, and they're clothed in white robes around the throne with gold crowns on their head, and that they will fall down and worship God. I do know Scripture tells us that one day we shall be robed in white robes in heaven. What's that going to be like? And we will have crowns. But we will take those crowns and we will cast those crowns at the feet of the one who loved us and gave his life for us, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Again, verse 5. Notice the lightning. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And so here the lightning and the thunder and the voices are a reminder of God's incredible power and majesty and glory and judgment. Remember Moses, when he met for the Ten Commandments with God, how there was thunder and lightning and the earth shook. Can't even imagine what that's going to be like. There was lightning and thunder on Mount Sinai when Moses was given the law. Seven is a number of completion. And so we see here that there is one Holy Spirit, but this speaks of the completion. The number seven represents the perfection and completeness of the person of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the thrones were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each had having six wings, were full of eyes around the and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And so John here tells us that before the throne, there was this beautiful sea of glass. And again, how do you describe that? It's hard to, you know, we can only think in human terms, in earthly terms, a sea of glass. But John is just writing what he saw. And it was like crystal. But what really catches his attention here are these four living creatures. Who are they? Scripture doesn't tell us. They had eyes in front and back, which is a picture of omniscience. God sees everything. And so they had eyes front and back, seeing everything. He says one was like a lion. One was like a calf. One had the face of a man. One was like a flying eagle. Verse 8 tells us that they had six wings and were full of eyes around and within. Again, not too much detail is given here, but that's okay. But two things do stand out. Number one, they are created beings that worship holy God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. There is going to be major worship in heaven. Major, major worship in heaven. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? We're going to see here in a moment, tens and thousands and tens of thousands of people one day will all be worshiping the Lord before his throne. What a glorious day that's going to be. And everybody's going to be singing. Oftentimes you look around during worship and people, you know, looking in their cell phone and everything else, and they ain't going to be no cell phones in heaven. And everybody's going to be singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Here we see there seems to be a combination of seraphim, which we find in the prophetic book of Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7, and the cherubim. Six wings. Some have two wings. Another thing I find here, again, and I'm not stretching things or adding to things, is these four beings are a picture of the four Gospels. Matthew's Gospel presents Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark presents Jesus as a sacrificial servant, and that's what a calf is, a sacrificial animal. Luke presents Jesus as a man, the Son of Man, who came to take away the sins of the world. John's Gospel, an eagle, is the divine Son of God. And so we do see that picture here. And their ministry emphasizes the holiness of God. And that's so, so important. And guess what? The Gospels emphasize the holiness of God as well. All four of them. The lion, the calf, the man, the eagle. And so it emphasizes the holiness of God, his majesty, his sovereignty, as they worship him night and day. That's a long worship service, would you say? We're spoiled today in America with our Christian Disneyland. People looking at their watches, oh man, that guy's been speaking 10 minutes already. You know what I love about this fellowship? You guys love the Word of God. And you guys love one another. I've had one complaint the whole time we've been here. And you know what it was? And I'm not boasting. That the sermon was too short. You read when Israel had come back from being held captive in Babylon, how they got together and from morning to midday, the word was preached to them through Ezra. Amazing. Morning through midday. That's at least a 6-hour message. So I've decided today I'm going to do a 6-hour message. So don't hit the doors. Just kidding. But imagine, you know. And we're going to be worshiping the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And we're not going to be looking. I don't even think there's going to be clocks in heaven. Do you? I don't think there's going to be watches, clocks. I know there won't be any cell phones. And all these other things that consume our lives. And they do. I lost my cell phone last week for a couple. I won't tell you where it went. Walter. But but for about 3 or 4 hours, I was without it. And I felt, man, something's really missing here. And we become consumed by these things, not even realizing it. We're dependent upon a lot of things. I mentioned Wednesday night, I think it was, how our power went out unexpectedly. And you don't realize how much you depend on your power until it's gone. And then they froze my debit card at the bank. They said someone had, you know, frauded my card and no money. And see, these are things that just rock our Richter scale, don't they? Man, oh man. When we get to heaven, we're going to worship and worship and worship and worship some more, and we're not even be concerned how long the worship service is, because we're going to worship the Lord throughout all eternity, forever and ever and ever. Imagine what that's going to be like. And whenever they give glory and honor and praise and thanks to God, notice verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by you, your will, they exist and were created. Wow. Oh, that we too would worship the Lord in this manner. You know, just like the four living creatures did, holy, 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 here we now see the elders falling down. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you, by your will, they exist and they were created. One day that we're going to have real worship. We got beautiful worship. Now, I love the worship in this fellowship. Why? Because it's not entertainment. This is not a stage. This is a platform. And worship is to him, not about him. We don't sing about him. We sing to him with our hearts and not just our lips. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. You created all things. Isn't it sad what we've done in our public schools? Teaching kids that you came from a monkey, that you're a monkey's uncle, or that you evolved, or a big bang. You know, big bangs don't create anything. Believe me, I saw a few of them in Vietnam. Nothing was created from them big bangs I saw. He is the creator, verse 1 of the Bible. You don't have to go very far to see that all things were created by him. Bara is the term. He took something that did not exist and he made something out of it. And not only that, he made you and I male and female in his image. We're to be a reflection of him, male and female. And look how we've twisted things in our public schools and our nation today. We are messed up. And Jesus Christ is going to return very soon. He's a creator. You read Colossians, all things were made of him and by him and through him. And one thing about God, he never says, oops. I remind myself of that every morning when I look in the mirror. He never says, oops. Thank you, Lord. You came and saved me and you love me. Wow. But you know what? Practice for worship in heaven starts right here. Ryan was sharing out of the Psalms yesterday in our men's prayer meeting that David, King David, this macho warrior of God, a man after God's own heart, worshiped the Lord, sang to the Lord wherever he went. And look what the world's did on mine, singing their trash before us. You know what? We should have a song in our heart. We should have joy in our hearts. The joy of the Lord. It's so wonderful, isn't it, to practice for our worship services in heaven right now. And it's not all about how your voice sounds. It's about your heart, not your lips. Chapter 5 now. Continues in heaven. I've got 3 more hours here, so I'll do what I can. Just kidding. Continues in heaven around the throne of God. Look at the first 4 verses. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. And John says, "So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it." Wow. So verse 1 tells us that this scroll is in the hand of God, seated on the throne, written inside and on the back, and it was sealed with 7 seals. In John's day, books were written on scrolls, pieces of papyrus or vellum, up to 30 feet long. Can you imagine? That's why I love the Bibles that we have today. All of these books were scrolls. Now, the book of Jude, the Epistle of Jude, that'd be an easy one. But when you get to books like the Psalms, Isaiah, and you got to find, you know, like Psalm 119, you got to go a long way through that thing. I can find mine in about 2 seconds. We have tabs, we have ribbons. It's got 3 ribbons in it, and tabs, the whole thing going on. We're spoiled. We can go right to a book just like that. Boom. In those days, sometimes the scrolls, can you imagine, up to 30 feet long? That's why oftentimes you see these tables in synagogues, when they roll out the scrolls, they have to have a long table so they can unroll the scroll. I wasn't trying to rhyme anything there. But they were rolled up and sealed with clay or wax. Now this scroll here contains a complete account of what God has in store for the world. And again, we are blessed today because we have the rest of the story. We're going to see what was written in these scrolls when the seals are broken and what God has in store for the world. And if God says it, you can take it all the way to heaven because this is the word of the Lord. Every word, every cross T, every dotted I is absolutely perfect and it's going to come to pass. And so here we see it contains a complete and accurate account of what God has in store for the world. The 7 seals indicate the importance of its context. Why? Because 7, again, is a number of perfection. These seals are located throughout the scrolls so that each one, when it is broken, will reveal something. Another phase of God's eternal plan for the world. Wow. Isn't this amazing that God, first of all, gives us a glimpse of heaven? And now when we really get into the revelation of Jesus Christ, he's going to show us what's coming. And you are going to be so thankful that you're not going to be here if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Notice it says a strong angel sends forth an appeal. You ever read some of the accounts of angels in the Bible? And they're just called angels. This guy is called a strong angel. There's an angel in the Old Testament that slaughtered 180,000 of the enemy. And he was just a regular angel, generic. A strong angel sends an appeal. Who's worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Man. And loose its seals. And one by one, no one, it says here, be it celestial, terrestrial, or subterranean, is able. No one is found qualified to unroll it, to loose it. No one. And this just breaks John. He begins to weep uncontrollably. That's the original language. He begins to weep when no one was found worthy to open, to read, or even to look at it. Wow. That is until verse 5. Notice what God's word says. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Wow. One of the 24 elders. And again, it doesn't tell us who it is. He comforts John. What a wonderful picture of what we're to do as ministers. You know, you guys are ministers too. Not just me. I'm not the only minister in this place. The term minister, small m, means to be a servant of God. And when we find people broken and weeping, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to come alongside and comfort them and encourage them. And you know what I found over the years? One of the best ways to comfort and encourage somebody is to give them the good news. And what does this elder do? He gives them the good news. I mean, the real good news. Why was John weeping so? Well, I got a couple of reasons here before me. He felt that the wrongs of the earth would not be unrighted. How sad that would be, wouldn't it? You know, we talk a lot about judgment, about the return of Jesus Christ and all, but aren't you grateful that the Lord is going to come and straighten all this junk out? Look what mankind has done to God's creation. It was created absolutely perfect. And I'm blown away today. People say, "Oh man, things are getting better." But you know what? We as Christians can say that. Things are getting better for you and I because we're getting closer to home. Things are going to be real good, real soon. But John was weeping also because the righteous would never be vindicated. And one day you and I, our righteousness is from Jesus Christ. We are robed in his righteousness. And one day we will be vindicated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And one day we will never, ever, 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 ever have to deal with sin again. Not even one bad thought. Again, try to figure that one out. Heaven is absolutely perfect and pure and holy and right. Also, John was weeping because the wicked would not go unpunished. Also, fourthly, he was weeping because the kingdom of God would not come. Yeah. Notice verses 5 to 7. One of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." Whew. John probably going, "Hallelujah." And I looked, and behold, this is so cool. In the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Again, seven is just a number of completion. Seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Wow. This is so amazing to me. It gives me sheep bumps. I'm not a goose, so I get sheep bumps. The elder presents to John the Lion and the Lamb. That's who Jesus Christ is, the Lion and the Lamb. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord is presented as both a lamb and a lion. As the Lamb of God, He is the sacrificial one who bore the sins of the world. And when you look at a lamb in comparison to a lion, lambs are pretty innocent, aren't they? They really are. Lambs are not aggressive. As a matter of fact, when they fall down, the shepherd has to go and to pick them up and turn them back over. They're helpless. And that's the picture of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial lamb who came into this world to bear your sins and my sins. How about the lion? The lion is the judge. Jesus Christ came the first time as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. But folks, I got news for you. The next time he comes, he's coming as the lion, the judge. And I ain't lying. The lion. At his first coming, the lamb. At his second coming, the lion. Seven horns here speaks of his omnipotence, all powerful. Seven eyes speaks of his omniscience, seeing everything, knowing everything. Seven spirits speaks of the full measure of the person of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice here? His wounds are still evident. When I think about that, when we get to heaven and we see him, will he still bear the scars and the wounds that were caused by your sin and mine? I wonder about that. But it says right here that, notice, as a lamb, verse 6, as though it had been slain. Yeah. Someone had mentioned one time that the only scars that will be in heaven will be his. Mm-hmm. From our sin, from your sin and mine. And sometimes I just want to physically punish myself for being such a jerk when I think about the price he paid for me and I still continue on with my sinful life, the flesh. It's not just necessarily carrying it out. Most of the sin takes place right here, have you noticed? Between our ears. Judging someone, criticizing someone, filthy thoughts. All these things we have to deal with every day. That's why the Bible tells us it's the washing of the word and the renewing of our minds. This is God's filtration system. We need to read God's word every day and cleanse our minds and our hearts before the Lord. And he'll do that. He promises to do it. Verse 7. Then he came and took the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, there is someone worthy to open the scroll, and it's Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down. And it's not because Benny Hinn was there. They fell down before the Lamb. You know what I've noticed? When someone falls down spiritually, they fall down on their face before Holy God. When I see them on TV, they're going backwards. I have a precious brother in the Lord that came to know the Lord, and he laughs. He said, man, you know what my first job was in this church that was off the wall? I was a catcher. He used to catch the people who would get knocked down. I said, did you ever have any errors? Whoops, you dropped the ball. You know? We need to prostrate ourselves before the Lord, fall before him. And that's exactly what they do. Is there any better place to be, honestly, in reverence to Holy God? That's how I got saved. I was on my face before the Lord, begging him to save me. If you're real, change my life. And he answered my prayer. Praise God. We have to be very, very careful when it comes to worship. Notice again. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Isn't that amazing? You know that every single one of your prayers is in golden bowls in heaven. had a precious sister this morning that was weeping. She had tears. I said, did you know that every one of your tears is in a bottle in heaven? You are so important to Jesus Christ that he has every single one of your tears. He does not lose one. Maybe you're going through some heartache right now, some brokenness in your life. Jesus Christ is there with you. He knows, and he has every one of your tears in a bottle. Not one of your tears is in vain or wasted. That's so important. Can you imagine? That's the God that we serve. That's how intimate he is. He's got all of our prayers in golden bowls, and he has all of our tears in a bottle. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows every breath that we take, every beat of our heart. And he can't wait to partake of the cup and the bread at the wedding of the wedding supper of the Lamb with you and I one day. He said that at the communion with the disciples, that he would not partake of the cup and the bread till the kingdom of heaven. And folks, we're so close to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And again, what's that going to be like? Wow. Notice. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Amazing, isn't it? Nothing short of incredible. People from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every kindred are praising God before his throne. What's that going to be like? Man, I can't imagine that. You talk about a worship service, folks. God's love, his grace, his mercy, his message of salvation and eternal life is not limited to any specific race, creed, or color. You know what? I'm going to lay it right out here this morning. To God, all lives matter. All. Every single one. He came into this world to die for every race, creed, and color on the planet. How many of you had a checklist to choose what color you wanted to be? God created you, and God never makes mistakes, and he created you as a reflection of him in his image. And you know what, folks? Racism's got to go. It's a sin right out of the pit of hell. We are called to love one another. And it's not all about the outside. It's about the inside. How's your heart? We're not limited to any specific race, creed, or color. All lives matter to God. He died for you. Anyone who repents and comes to God by faith, he will accept. That's anyone. I have seen people, man, that have been some places and done some things that would cause the hair on the back of your neck to stand up. And some of them might be sitting in this sanctuary here this morning, and God saved their soul. God doesn't grade on a curve. If you're a gossip, you're no different than a murderer. Why? Because they're one and the same. Gossip is murdering someone's character. Jesus said, if you thought it, you done it. Be it adultery, hatred, murder, whatever it might be. We need to get over it. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Notice, a new song. They're all singing a new song together. And I have to believe there's no overhead in heaven. These things will be gone. Praise the Lord. They were singing about his work. What? He was slain. They were singing about his redemption by his blood. They were his people, every tribe and tongue and people and nation. They were singing about his commission. We are going to reign one day. Verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. This is so cool. The living creatures and the elders and the number of them. Check this out. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. What a worship service. You imagine that? Go to pastors' conferences, one of the number one questions, I hate this. How big is your church? I can tell you exactly how big my church is, zero. It's not my church. It's his church. And what a church service this is going to be here. Woo! 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, man. Whoa. And they were saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Imagine what it's going to be like. "And every creature which is under heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Imagine this. 10,000 times 10,000, 10,000. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. I can tell you this. It's going to be loud. And all of us that have problems hearing and seeing, that's all going to be gone. We're going to be perfect. Perfect ears, perfect eyesight. Perfect bodies, cleansed, pure, holy before a holy God. And what a glorious worship service that's going to be. And so as we close, you're going, finally. Chapter 5 shows us this. Closing comments. Only Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lion, is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise and worship. Why? Because only Jesus Christ, the Lamb and the Lion, was able to open the scroll. Jesus, not Satan, holds the future. And it's all going to come to pass. Tune in next week. Jesus is in full control. Do you believe that? Yes. How many of you are living with fear in your heart then? If you believe that Jesus Christ is in full control, guess what? Faith knocks out fear out of your heart. We need to walk by faith. And you know what? Faith will dispel fear in your heart. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God, the Bible says. Jesus is in full control. Get into his word. Get his word into your heart. And allow God to knock that fear right out of your heart. Jesus alone is worthy to set in motion the last days of history. And folks, we're headed there. I want to close with this. How about that door that we started with? The Bible very clearly says, we saw last week, that Jesus Christ, back in chapter 3, verse 20, stands at the door and knocks. I mentioned last week, there was a famous artist that had a painting, a portrait of Jesus Christ doing that, knocking on the door. And a friend of his says, "There's no doorknob on there." You know why? Because it's on the inside. You need to open the door and ask Jesus to come in. He is a lamb, not a battering ram. He loves you. He wants to save your soul. But you have to make the choice. You have to open the door and invite him in. He loves you. He gave his life for you, as we saw here, as the Lamb of God. What are you going to do with that? And I got news for you. There's nothing that says that that door in heaven won't be closed today, tomorrow, next week. And what if the rapture were to take place right now? Would that door be open to you, or would it be closed to you? Your choice. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today and know that you're going to go through that door to heaven, I'd like you to stand quickly and invite Jesus Christ into your heart. The most important single decision you can ever make. Anyone, as we close. So you're all going through the door. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for my precious brothers and sisters here. I can't wait for that worship service in heaven one day. But in the meantime, we have work to do. There are people outside of these doors that should that door close, they would be left behind. And Lord, some of those people we come in contact with every day. They come across our path. Help us to be so filled with your grace and your love and your mercy and your light And Lord, they would ask, man, there's something different about you. What is it? And that there would be an open door for us to share the grace and the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ with them. I pray for revival in America, Lord, please. I pray for our politicians, from our president down, God, save their souls. Break through the darkness with your word, with the light, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and save them, Lord, from the destruction that's going to come upon this earth. Thank you for the worship this morning. Thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the fellowship as we go upstairs and partake of donuts and coffee and orange juice, whatever we might have up there. But Lord, the all-important thing is to have fellowship with one another. We're practicing for heaven with the fellowship, with the worship. And so, Lord, may we get an A on our report card. As we love you, we praise you, and we thank you, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.